Good morning, everybody. Pastor Mike here with another Watchman Pure Bible Study, Revelation chapter 9, in verse 10. This is the locust army. This is Joel's army. This is Todd Bentley's friends coming up out of the bottomless pit. The people that, you know, is going to take over the world for Jesus. Revelation chapter 10. You got to laugh. Okay, you got to smile. Let's put the fun and the mental in fundamentalism, all right? Verse 10, and they had tails like unto scorpions. It's interesting that that idea is reiterated. This is the second time we see this back up in verse 3. Power was given to them as the scorpions of the earth have power. And then it's, it talks about that they have the torment of a scorpion. Here in verse 5, and they torment for 5 months. Well, it says it here again. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. I just think all of this is interesting. What I think is interesting, just kind of going through my head here, is that there is a rock and roll group called Sting. Actually, it's a guy, isn't it? Sting. There's a rock and roll group called Scorpion. To me, it's interesting. Rock and roll is still the devil's music. But this is repeated here. And the only thing that I can see, you know, just kind of looking over this, is that we have a list here. And I think, and I don't believe in filler verses. I don't think God just used vain words just to put something there. It obviously has a bigger meaning. But we have 11 things that once he starts characterizing in verse 7, describing these scorpions. You'll count down to 11 things here into verse 11, and they had a king over them. So this is the 10th thing that he mentions, and they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men for 5 months. I know that I have covered this idea of 5 months, and I'm going to kind of go back over some things just in a little bit different direction today. I am right now going through recording the series on the rapture or the translation or being caught up. And the number 5 is a very, very dominant number in that teaching. The Lord himself shall come from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. To me, it's interesting that here there's a torment, there's a thing for 5 months, and yet we are not tormented by that. We are caught up together with the Lord in the air. But anyway, let's look at this five-month period. It is actually spelled out one other place in the Bible, verbatim, which means by the word. In Luke chapter 1, we have Zacharias and Elizabeth. And once Elizabeth finds out that she is going to have a baby, she is with child. Let's see here. In verse 24 of Luke chapter 1, and after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. So we have the number 5. We have her hiding herself for 5 months, and we have the birth of a child here, and it's removing the reproach. You'll see the same idea in the book of Ruth. When Ruth finally conceives and gives birth to a child, this takes away the reproach that is on Naomi. Naomi cannot have, she's old, her husband's dead, her two sons are dead. There's no one to carry on the inheritance or pass the inheritance on to. So Boaz and Ruth bear Obed, the child, so that they could raise up seed in the name of Naomi's dead husband. And it removes her reproach. But I want us to look at this five-month period. So I want to go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 7. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do this. I like to do this. This is the 1611 King James Bible. For those that say that the 1611 King James Bible is a completely different version than the 1728 and half, whatever, version that we have now. I just like to do this every now and then. I'm going to read verbatim, word for word, out of the 1611 Bible, Genesis chapter 7, verse 17. Follow along with me, if you will, if you dare. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lift up above the earth. Now, the first thing that I see, I'm not going to mark here. I've got my notes here. I'm not going to mark in my Bible. The flood was 40 days on the earth. The number 4, 40, 400, 4,000 all carry the idea of a spiritual, it has a spiritual understanding, a spiritual realm. You have 4,000 years from Adam until Christ. You have 400 years from the end of Malachi to the first book of the New Testament, which is Matthew, which is the 40th book. 40 days in the wilderness, 40 years, 40 days fasting. These all have the idea of a spiritual thing, the idea of the first Adam and the second Adam being a period of 4,000 years. Number one, we bring in four Gospels after 4,000 years, after 400 years, after the end of the Old Testament. I mean, it just all matches up here. But then we have the idea that the first Adam is made under the law, cursed by sin. The second Adam is from above. The Bible clearly says that, uses that terminology, meaning that he is not of this world. He is born of, literally, of God. So the first Adam of this earth, the second Adam is of a spiritual nature. Our first body, born of this earth under the Old Testament, the law, the curse of it, it's going to die. But what's going to come up is a spiritual body. So I want you to think of that concept, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. And when you see the number 40 here, the flood was 40 days upon the earth. And remember how it happened. They came down from the sky. They came up from the depth of the earth. As above, so below. I got a copy of Rhonda Byrne's The Secret. It's based upon the law of attraction. This is what Joel and Joyce and all the Word Faith people practice. They don't call it witchcraft. They call it Christianity. It's not. It's witchcraft. And I opened up to the first page, very first page in there. It says, as above, so below. And it's quoting from what's called the Emerald Tablet, which is the supposed lost word of Hermes Trismegistus, who's the Antichrist. All right. It's another gospel is what it is. So, and there, here's another idea to go along with this. Paul told us, though we or an angel from heaven bring you any other gospel, let him be accursed. Now, we've always looked at Mormonism, Mitt Romney. We've always looked at Mormonism, Glenn Beck, and said that's a false gospel. Look, an angel brought them a false gospel. And that's true. But I think that there is a future fulfillment of what Paul said. I think these angels are going to come. They're actually falling from, they got kicked out of heaven. They're not going to tell everybody that. You know, where'd you come from? Well, we got kicked out of, you know, where we were. Can we stay here? And that's what, you know, they're going to come down from heaven. They're going to bring a false gospel. Paul warned us four times. Another gospel, another gospel, another gospel, any other gospel. He warned us four times in the scriptures about this false gospel, not to accept it. And so here we have, 40 days of purpose is what we have. How long is Lent? How long did they weep for Tammuz? 40 days. All of that, I think, is a prefiguring. I think this is, it's in place to draw people to this time. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up, it says 5 months here. In Genesis 7, the total number of days that the waters rose. I know that after 40 days, it stopped raining and the waters, you know, the fountains dried up. But they continue to rise up to 150 days. Then they went back down again. So for 5 months, the flood waters prevailed on the earth. And this is the word that we're going to look at today in the scripture, flood and waters. But I want you to think of this as the overcoming of a false gospel system, probably based upon works of some kind. Because every gospel is that is not the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's a work attached to it. Oh, you didn't speak in tongues? Well, you're not really saved. You have to speak in tongues. That's a work. That's a false gospel. I mean, this is so easy to spot. People telling you, oh, I'm sorry. You go to church on Sunday. You're part of the Vatican system. You're going to burn in hell. Stinks to be you. They just added works, legalism, to grace is what they did. I don't care how they justify it. I don't care what scriptures they read. They added works to grace. Oh, where were you at the Feast of Passover? You didn't show up at our meeting, and so you're probably not saved. Now, they like to say you're saved by grace, but you didn't keep what? You didn't keep the works of the law? Well, you're probably not saved anyway. So anyway, there is a work attached to a false gospel of some kind. And so here we have 40 days of purpose on the earth. The flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the ark. I love this, because what is it that destroys man and saves God's people at the same time? I like this. Verse 18, the waters prevailed and were increased greatly upon the earth, and the ark went upon the face of the waters. They just like Jesus walking on the waters. And the waters prevailed exceedingly. This is verse 19. The waters prevailed exceedingly upon the earth, and all the high hills that were under the whole heaven were covered. I believe that. I believe exactly what it says. Bible says, verse 20, 15 cubits upward, did the waters prevail and the mountains were covered. I believe that one too. Verse 21, and all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of beast and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man. All in verse 22, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life of all that was in the dry land died. And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and the fowl of the heaven. And they were destroyed from the earth, and Noah only remained alive, and they that were with him in the ark. And the waters prevailed upon the earth 150 days. 5 months. I mean, that's pretty simple. 30 days in a month, 5 months. So here we have the same 5 month time frame, the exact same. So we are taking here a little and there a little, and we're matching them up because of their numerical matchup, the numerical significance. 5 months, 150 days, that's the same thing. If 5 months equals and is the same as 150 days. Let me just throw this in case you say, well, you know, some months have this. Let me show you this. Let me get my 1611 King James Bible out. Notice that in verse 11 in chapter 7, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month. Second month, 17th day of the month. That's when this started. We go to Genesis chapter 8. Let me turn this very delicate page here. And let's see here. The Bible says in verse 4, and the ark rested in the 17th month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month, and the 10th month and the first day of the month were the tops of the mountains seen. So back in verse 4, the ark rested in the 7th month on the 17th day of the month. So the second month, 17th day of the month, all the way to the 7th month, 17th day of the month. 5 months of 30 days exactly. Exactly. Now, in our calendar, there's no way you can do that because some months have, I don't know if you know this little trick. If it's a knuckle, it has 31 days. If it's a valley, it has 30 or less. January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. That's how I was taught. I never was. 30 days, half, I don't even know that one. But anyway, you can't do that with our calendar. It's not right. We don't have 30 days in each month. If you had 30 days in each month, you would have 12 months. You would have exactly a circle. 360 days, 360 degrees, you would have an absolute perfect circle of the sun and the earth, okay? It would be perfect, 360 days. The Jewish calendar is based upon a 360-day year. They had to throw in some stuff just to make it right because for some reason after the flood, we don't have 360 days in the year. We have 365. Now it's different. But I think before the flood, I think there were 360 days in the year. I think one day per degree and to make that perfect circle. I think it was made by God. I think it was perfect. But something happened with the flood, maybe a meteorite, maybe something, you know, God tilting the axis, you know, wobbling the rotation and so on. Maybe that's what happened. But I think, according to Scripture, there was 360 days in the year before the flood. Just my little 2 cents worth. But anyway, we're still dealing with the same five-month time period, 150 days, 5 months. Incidentally, most of what I'm going to cover comes from the Psalms. There are 150 of them. And they, you see all the time they're talking about being in the pit. They're talking about being in the mire, in the floods, the waves overcoming me. So listen to what God says, how he inspired the book of Psalms. And there's some other places we're going to go to as well. And I've already talked way too much. Let's get into the scripture. Psalm 42, verse 7. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. There's a whirlwind there. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Think of what David is saying here. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. You know, that's just something that I could just, you know, talk for a while to you about. Is he the God of your life? Is this the book of your life? You know, when Jesus came, he said, lo, I come in the volume of the book to do thy will, O God. Jesus was, of course, he was the Word of God, but he was, what he did on this earth and what he does now is according to the volume of the book. He follows the book. It was the book of his life. It's also the book of your life as well. Read it, study it, memorize it, think about it, meditate on it, pray about it, pray over it, ask God questions. This book is the book of your life because God is supposed to be the God of your life. But David is talking about thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. God is the one who instituted this. Psalm 65, 5. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation, who art the confidence of all the ends of the earth and of them that are afar off upon the sea, which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power, which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves and the tumult of the people. So now we're seeing a connection here. The noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. Tumult. Let's think of something prophetic. Let's think of out of chaos comes order. And you and I know that there is a plan to bring about such a chaotic situation on earth that basically a new way or a new paradigm or a new world order will be brought in. I think I see this here, the tumult of the people, the noise of their waves, the noise of the seas. Let me give you something that has been really, it's just kind of been in my mind and in my heart for a while since I studied this out. A lot of you read things from the internet. You read people's articles, and they talk about DNA activation. They talk about vibrations and frequencies. And I will say that we know that crystals have a resonance because they have a frequency that if you hit them with the right sound wave at the right frequency. Frequency means how often the waves of sound come at you. If it's of a high frequency, there's a lot of waves coming, you know, at a very fast speed. If it's of a low frequency, there's big waves, but they're very spread apart and there's not as many of them. Drop something into the water and you'll see that. And I kept looking at frequencies and and things like that, and you know, vibrations and harmonics and the harmonic convergence, and we all need to get in tune with one another. We need to be on the same frequency. I mean, you hear this kind of language, and then you hear the New Agers talk about how the frequencies are, you know, they can alter our DNA. We can actually have three strands instead of two strands, or 12 strands, or I mean, they say all these things, but it all comes down to frequencies, and DNA is a crystal. I mean, this is why you can aim a certain piercing sound at a crystal glass and it'll shatter. It's because of the resonance of the frequencies. And I started was going, okay, God, what is this with this frequency stuff? Everybody's talking about frequencies and changing DNA, and it's good that when the frequencies all harmonize right, we're all going to be, you know, in this new age. Because I don't see frequencies in the King James Bible. And then I remembered what they were. They were waves. Okay? They were waves. That's what they were. And I look at this like here, the noise of their waves. Psalm 65, verse 7. The tumult of the people that stilleth the noise of the sea, the noise of their waves, the tumult of the people. Stilleth the noise. You know how you still, you can tap a crystal glass and it'll ring until you put your finger on it. You're stopping the vibrations. You're stopping the harmonics is what you're doing. And that's what God has the ability to do. He has the ability to stop this. And now I want you to think of something. I want you to think of, and I'm going to show you this from the Bible. I want you to think of this idea of frequency or waves as being these spirits that are coming. If you look back in Revelation 10, there's a sound that their wings make. They're creating harmonics. They're creating frequencies is what they're doing. And, of course, the New Agers are telling you, hey, it's these harmonics that's going to change us all, man. It's going to make us all, you know, enlightened hippies. If we could just smoke marijuana, more marijuana in this country, we would get there quicker. And so in the election, who was it, Washington State and Maryland, decided, why not? And so recreational use of marijuana in this country, now legal. We're going to get there pretty fast. Psalm 88, verse 7, thy wrath lieth hard upon me, and thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. Selah. Think about that. Thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves. So, and we see that in Revelation 9. We see the affliction, the torment. Psalm 89:9, thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. The raging of the sea, the waves arise. You can still them. How? This word. You know, just an area of practicality in your life. Let's say that these devils are like waves of the sea, and they keep coming at you, keep coming at you, keep coming at you. You know how you still them? The Word. You get the Bible out and let Jesus say, peace, be still. He leadeth me beside what kind of waters? Still waters. So we have still waters, which are heaven, God's way, and we have the tumult of the seas, the evil waves. That's the devil's kingdom. Psalm 93, verse 3. The floods have lifted up. I want you to look at this. Get your Bible open and look at this. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. You see, I'm looking at waves in the Bible and floods. And I'm seeing this, and I'm going, I think that's it right there. The floods lift up their waves. The Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, yea, than the mighty waves of the sea. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. And so I think that this flood in Genesis represents the invasion of this kingdom, of this fourth kingdom of the book of Daniel, the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, spiritual wickedness in high places. Look at Psalm 107, verse 25 for you. And take this idea now, when you're reading through New Age documents, when you're looking at, because I know you are, you're sending them to me, when you're looking at websites that are talking about frequencies, oh, it's going to change our, you know, DNA, it's going to alter us and so on. I don't think that earthly sounds do that. I think these waves are going to do that. I think they're going to alter man. So keep that in mind. For he commandeth, what is the Aquarian symbol? It's two waves, one up here and one down here. That's the age of Aquarius, the water being poured out, and the two wave signs. I can't make my hand into a curly wave like that, but that's what it is. And they say we're going to enter into that period. Marilyn Ferguson writes The Aquarian Conspiracy, telling us that the waves are going to come and flood mankind. It's going to be better for us, really, when we're all underwater. Okay? Where is Atlantis right now? Anyway, Psalm 107, verse 25, for he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind. Think about that, because we're going to go to Daniel. The stormy wind which lifteth up the waves. It's the wind that picks the waves. I mean, you know this. I mean, anybody who lives near a large body of water, you know that wind picks waves up. That's what it does. Which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. You see what they're doing? Up and down. They mount up to the heaven. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. The Bible says the earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard. And are at their wit's end. I had a thought, and I want you to kind of be watching for this. You and I know that it's not right to be drunk. You and I know that. We know that this Bible says, no, it's not supposed to. I was thinking of this, and I was thinking of the earth reeling to and fro like a drunkard. And I want to tell you something, it won't surprise me. Regurgitate the book of Joel to make it look like that us Christians are going to be the super beings of the new world order and take over the world for Jesus Christ. We're going to be Joel's army. If they can do that with the book of Joel, they can do that with this idea. They're going to tell people, you need to get drunk. You need to get drunk. You need to get drunk. Because what God's going to do, he's going to pour out a spirit on this earth, and the whole earth is going to reel to and fro like a drunkard. And everybody's going to go, oh, hallelujah, praise God, we're all going to be drunk. I'm telling you, they're setting everybody up, and it's working very, very well. Look at this again. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. Why? Because the waves are hitting them and are at their wit's end. When you go into a Bill Johnson church, Redding, California, you go into these other churches, they're crazy. They're at their wit's end. In other words, their intellect, which is your wit, your intellect has run out. You're not using your intellectual powers. Your intellectual powers will cause you to stand like this. And they laugh at people. They say, you don't have the Holy Ghost because you're standing still. I'm just following with the Bible. And you see them running around, acting like drunk people, crazy. They're nuts. They're in there barking like dogs. I mean, just all kinds of stuff going on. They are at their wit's end. God's unleashing the waves after them to make them do that. That stuff is not the Holy Spirit. And if, in fact, it is a spirit that is causing that, these people that you know that bought into this stuff, that's a devil spirit that they have making them do that. But God says, verse 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. I love it. Daniel 7, verse 2. Notice that it's the wind. Daniel 7, verse 2. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And did you like my sound effects there? And four great beasts came up from the sea. So the wind stirs the sea up. Then these beasts come out, and we see the fourth. You know, we have the lion with eagle's wings. We have the bear. We have the leopard. And then we have the fourth beast dreadful and terrible. And so I see in this the four beasts and the waves and the wind blowing and the storm, just like it was in the days of Noah. That's why they were 40 days coming down. Psalm 107, verse 29, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Just think about the difference between how you worship God and how everybody else is doing it. They're banging drums, and they're dancing, and they're partying, and they're shouting, woo, okay? I don't have a problem with getting excited about the Lord. And everybody has something a little bit different in them that causes them to express their joy in a different way. That's not necessarily bad. It's not necessarily good. But you know the difference. You know when you go into a church and you hear the laughing and the guttural noises and the da-da-da-da, you hear all that stuff and pandemonium. It's pandemonium. These preachers actually admit that pan is causing the demonium. Pandemonium. That's what that word means. But God comes in and he just makes everything still. Still small voice. Jeremiah 5:22. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail. Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. What is it that's holding the waves in? The people who are as the sand that is by the sea. They are the ones who are holding it back, saying, uh-uh. There's something in Job about stop, you proud waves, you know, proceed no further. That was actually in the Da Vinci Code. I just butchered that verse, but go read it in the book of Job. The sand of the sea is actually what makes it. Only, and then so you think about 2 Thessalonians, only he who now letteth will let, alloweth, until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked come. And so, again, you read the story of Ichabod, you'll see what's taken out of the way. You'll see a falling backward. You'll see the man of sin revealed. And I think that you and I, who are as the sand of the sea, because we are spiritual Israel, that all has not turned loose yet on the earth because of us. Ezekiel 26:3, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I am against thee, O Tyrus, and will cause many nations to come up against thee, as the sea causeth his waves to come up. Jonah 2:2, listen to what Jonah said. And I cried by reason of my affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I. He is using metaphorical language, but when Jesus fulfills it, it's real. As Jonah was in the whale's belly 3 days, 3 nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth. No, I don't believe that Jonah literally went to hell. Somebody suggested that he died there. I don't see that scripturally. What I see here is Jonah using this language. It's prophetic because it speaks of what Christ actually did, but I don't think that he literally went to hell. But he's talking about the sea being over him and him being down in the depths. Look at what he said. Thou heardest my voice, for thou hadst cast me into the deep. That's a phrase you can look at. Write the words the deep. Put that in quotation marks and put that in your search engine. If you have quick verse like I have, it'll be easy. Look at the deep, the deep, the deep, the deep, the deep. You'll see that it represents hell. In the midst of the seas and the floods compass me about, and all thy billows and thy waves passed over me. The floods and the waves were over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head, and I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thy holy temple. This is so beautiful. I think that Jonah, Jesus being the Son of Man, him being the son that was taken out of Egypt, I think Jonah is a type not only of Christ, but of the future of Israel. God's the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the literal seed, the bloodline, the 12 tribes. I think that that's what that's a picture of. I think God, when God floods this earth again with these devils, I think Israel is going to cry out unto God for their help, and I think God's going to save them, just like Jonah. Luke 21. This is the Luke 21, and I'm doing a study right now on Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, and Luke 17 goes along with that. This is called the Olivet Discourse, the teaching from the Mount of Olives that Jesus did concerning his coming, his appearing in the clouds, and the blowing of the trumpet, and the gathering together. And I'm studying that right now. I don't have an agenda. I'm just looking at what it says. But this is part of it. Look at what it says. There shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. I think I know what this is now. I think this is that time, that five-month period. Men's hearts failing them for fear and looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Go read Revelation chapter 6. That's exactly what is said there concerning the sixth seal, I think. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. When these begin to come to pass, then lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. That redemption is our redemption. Paul said, talking about the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. We are the adopted sons, grafted in, and we're going to receive a new body. Psalm 18, verse 4, the sorrows of death compass me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me in my distress. I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God, and he heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even unto his ears. These ungodly men that are part of this worldwide conspiracy coming in like a flood. And I'm in my distress, I called upon the Lord. And realistically, haven't you been there? Haven't you been with the ungodly people and the forces of hell unleashed against you? And during that time, you cried out unto the Lord, and he heard you. You didn't chant secret words. You didn't proclaim it, claim it. You didn't believe that you had to say exactly the right words to invoke God. You just started crying. God heard you. Psalm 32. Psalm 32 is about the forgiveness of sins. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Did you know that it's godly people who repent? And if godly people repent, it's because they did things that were wrong. That's godliness. And he said here, for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Psalm 69, verse 2, I sink in deep mire. There's the deep there, where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters, where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fall while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being my enemies, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. And notice that the floods, again, are related to the enemies of God's people. Psalm 90, verse 5, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass, which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins, in the light of thy countenance. Listen to me, sinner. You can't hide it. God reveals it. He sees it. You must repent of it. Isaiah 28:2, behold, the Lord hath a mighty and a strong one, which as a tempest of hail, one of the trumpets brings hail, and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. And so I think that what we're seeing, all these verses here with the waves and the floods, do your own study, because I didn't put all of them in here. Do your own study of this idea, of this concept, and see how God reveals this to you. And then you understand what this is all about, what this five-month time prophecy is all about, what's going to happen here, how it relates. And I was just thinking of this today. You know, it seems like I keep repeating myself, because in all the things that we're seeing, number one, the translation of God's people, the Gentiles, but also the overflowing and then the salvation of the 12 tribes of Israel, because God still has not broken his promise to them. He's going to do exactly what he said he's going to do. And so just study this out with this in mind, because that to me is the whole theme of the Bible is, hey, God, God says, I want to save some people. This is how I'm going to do it. And so even in the midst of all of this, we see God's salvation at hand. And then verse 11, we won't talk about the day today, but they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. And we'll just talk about things that are buried in a pit, the bottomless pit. Next time we get together. All right. Hey, good to be with you today. God bless you. I love you. I love the Bible. I want you to love the Bible. I want you to enjoy just the magnificence of the pure words that are in this book. Don't let anybody lie to you. Don't let them tell you, hey, you know, that 1611 Bible's different. It's not. I just read out of it. Don't let anybody tell you there are mistakes in the Bible. There are no mistakes. It's incorruptible. You can't make the Bible, the real Bible, have a mistake in it. It is impossible to corrupt the Word of God. The devil's trying it. Man's trying it. And then they'll tell you that. And just stop and think about this. Okay? Let's say that you show up for a fight and you've got a pistol. Okay? And the guy that you're going to fight, I mean, you think you got it because you got a pistol. The guy that you're going to fight doesn't have a weapon, but he makes you think that he's going to destroy you. And then he says, you know what? That little pistol of yours will never even reach me. It is so old and archaic, and you know, you're just taking a chance on it. I would, if I were you, let me have that. And then, you know, then we won't have to fight anymore. And so people have just given their weapon. Here you go. Oh, it's got mistakes in it? Oh, I didn't know that. Well, I can't read that. Oh, they all do. Oh, then I'll just listen to this guy up here tell me about 40 days of purpose. And that's what everybody's done. Don't do it. Don't fall for it. Let this Bible help you stand in these days. When everybody else is going to fall, you keep standing. All right, I love you. Pastor Mike here. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.